John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, who's pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes this week. Vince, how are you?
I'm good. The important people get the open week off, right?
That's right. The important people. That's for sure. But great to have you on board, and look forward to having a lot to talk about, not just today, but also this week, because you've got Tennessee football, which has made it to the open date 2/3 of the way through the slate. Tennessee is 4-4. Volunteers coming off a loss at Alabama. Tennessee was within a touchdown with about 10, 11 minutes to go in the game, and then Alabama finished strong, as you aren't surprised to see Alabama do, able to get a big turnover that they converted into points. They had an answer for Tennessee's long touchdown to Cedric Tillman, and then they came up with another touchdown when the short field was there after Tennessee went for it and did not get to continue the drive in its own end. So Alabama wins when all is said and done, 52-24. But we'll talk a lot of Tennessee football this week. We'll also talk Tennessee baseball. We've got Tennessee basketball, as the number 18 Volunteers have their media day tomorrow. And Vince, it's hard to believe that we are less than a week away from November 1st.
Yeah. Exhibition game coming up this week.
You're exactly right. So, yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah. It's been cool. Some fans and some media got a chance to sample in and watch them a little bit with their open scrimmage they did last weekend at Thompson Bowling Arena, which is really cool for the Vols and the Lady Vols. So got a chance to see them a couple of times. Just really excited. That's very helpful when we get a chance to talk to them at media days. And looking forward to that. We'll have a big crew there to talk to as many of the players and get a bunch of interviews and stuff, which will, of course, will bring you here on Sports Talk. So really excited, a lot to be excited about with this team that will mold and develop as the year goes on. Don't think of the finished product soon, but just an outstanding array of talent there with the Vols, and exciting enhancements to the Lady Vols program too.
Very much so. But why don't we go ahead and jump into news and notes, and that's brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you trust. Vince, you've been dealing with, working with Image Matters for years.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob, JD, the entire staff there, top-notch work. They're reputable. The customer service is hard to match, and they deliver for you. And everything that I've ever gotten done, whether it's for work or personal, they've always come through big time. Just the absolutely no reason to to, once you go to them, to never go back, and you'll be sold on them once you do. They've been awesome.
As we talked about right at the start of the show, Tennessee football team first will tell you that they've set kickoff for Kentucky. Tennessee does not play this weekend. Volunteers will be back on the road when they resume their schedule with four games to go. It'll be a trip to the Commonwealth, a game in Lexington, and Vince, that'll be a third straight nighttime kickoff, as this one, like Tuscaloosa, will be a 7 o'clock Eastern time start.
Yeah, everything noon or evening.
Yes.
One or the other. Not much in the middle, but I think ESPN2 is the TV network on that, and it's going to be a very important game. That open week can't come at a better time, as we'll talk about. But Kentucky will be a tough game, and a game that will send this season into a different level, with the potential to do so if you take care of business in those other games. And obviously, if Tennessee was able to win on the road at Kentucky, would have even more excitement, anticipation for that Georgia game that follows the week after. So huge game, and we'll see how healthy this team can get before that.
What were your takeaways from the trip to Tuscaloosa?
Well, I think overall pretty positive. I know for some, they don't want to hear anything about the moral victory, and you can define that different ways, but I think we've seen some Tennessee teams in the past that maybe were thought to be better on paper than this one, not be as competitive against Alabama. So I think it's definitely a positive. Remember a couple of years ago with Jared Garantano, the much maligned Jared Garantano, Tennessee was in that ball game in the second half. And obviously that, big blunder at the goal line that turned that game around. But Tennessee did some good things and finished out, finished strong that year. So sometimes that can catapult you. Not a guarantee. There's been others that have kept games close for a while against Alabama. It's not an absolute, but I think it is something that they can use to their advantage. You saw some of their tempo impact Alabama, and some of those busts in there in the secondary that led to those explosive plays for Tennessee. That was started and attributed to the tempo that Tennessee goes at. Nick Saban mentioned on his coach's show that Tennessee was a really good team and that tempo was a factor that could lead to bust. And we saw it play out that way in the game, especially in the first half. And it continued, as you mentioned, into early in the fourth quarter when they were trading those touchdowns. Love the fight of this team, which has been consistent. Love the answer backs not being fazed by when things, you know, when things don't go well, there's a touchdown against you. You know, obviously the fourth quarter was different, but I think where things just snowballed really, really quickly. But Alabama's that explosive, and I thought Tennessee ran out of gas a little bit. You got to think about it. 92 plays for that defense in the Alabama game on the heels of 101 a week before against Ole Miss. That's 193 in 8 days. Theo Jackson said he played all 101 in that game, and he might not have been alone. Unfortunately, he went down in the first half, but that's a lot of plays. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that that level of team, as physical as they are, as good as they are in Alabama, that they would have that advantage in the fourth quarter and things could kind of snowball quickly.
Yeah, and again, this isn't to put a check mark anything other than a loss for Tennessee, which is what it was, but I do think that you can point to areas where Tennessee might have exceeded an expectation or two. I thought it was impressive. Tennessee did not allow a touchdown to Alabama in the third quarter. The teams traded field goals. Now, Alabama started a drive at the end of the third that they capped the first play of the fourth quarter. But still, you allowed just 3 points in the third quarter. Alabama got four touchdowns in that fourth quarter. Tennessee came right back after that first touchdown. They traded that one. And for Tennessee to do what it did after the early score by Alabama, Tennessee came back, got one, and then got another. They forced a fumble. They blocked a punt. I just thought that Tennessee did some good things that you can point to. And just as you were talking about, the way this team competes, I do think that no matter how many times you play this game, Alabama is going to win almost all of them. I mean, you would have to play quite a few, I think, before you would get to the one that Tennessee breaks through to win. But still, I just think that the way this team collectively is performing, I think it's a reflection of what we see in terms of the game plans put in place by both offense and defense, the approach that they take, and how prepared they have their players to be. I think it bodes well and reflects well on both the coaching staff and the roster because they're out there doing their very best.
No question. And look, there is roster limitations coming in. And I think this coaching staff, the players on it, haven't used it as an excuse. They've done their best with it and working around it. And you could see some of the coaching elements. We talked about the tempo impacting Alabama. Special teams was something that on the block, on the punt block, they saw on tape. It's the second time that's happened this year where Mike Eckler and the staff have identified it on tape and then executed it well during the game. That speaks to coaching. This team, unfortunately, had the penalties resurface in this game. They had more penalties in that Alabama game than they did their three previous SEC games combined, which was something that they had really cleaned up and led to them playing better. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to beat Alabama when you do those things. And I know some people could say, well, that's coaching. Some of them you could probably say. Some of it is the moment. The moment on the road, which is not easy, but it's the pre-snap stuff that's very frustrating. So, there are some things you can point to without doubt. Gave up more than 500 yards of offense. I mean, there's the quarterback runs again, which is something that has resurfaced. So not making it seem like this team won anything.
Yeah, not by any means.
But I do think that there are some things that can translate into W's against lesser competition. And for the exception of Georgia, there's that in front of Tennessee to be able to do. And that should be the ultimate judge of how this first year has gone for Josh Heupel, which I think they've been really well coached, been better coached than they were last year. And it's hard to argue any otherwise. And you're seeing it translate. And then the culture you can see with guys sticking up for each other, guys defending each other. People didn't throw Joe Milton under the bus after his teammates, after he ran out of bounds, which frustrated fans, obviously. But regardless of who makes a mistake, guys are still backing their teammates up. And I think that speaks to the culture. So this coaching staff, I think, has done a really nice job and maybe even a little bit ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. John, 8 games in from maybe what some people anticipated, whether you had him at 4-4 at this point or not. I think there are a few more encouraging signs to go with that record that are a positive more so than maybe what you thought you might have gotten going into the year for some.
Yeah, you take a look at what remains, and you've got Kentucky, you've got South Alabama, you've got Georgia, and you've got Vanderbilt. Two, I think you can go ahead and check in the win column. One, I think you can say is going to be a loss.
Yeah.
Kentucky, it's going to be interesting as you already said in our conversation, that where Tennessee is. I kind of like the fact that Kentucky plays this week, mm-hmm. so because they're coming off of an open date, and we'll see how they perform and how ready they are when Tennessee heads up there, as the Volunteers will have 2 weeks to get as healthy as they can, as well as 2 weeks to prepare for the Wildcats. It is a winnable game, but it's also a very losable game because there's a reason Kentucky is thought by many to be the third best team in the Southeastern Conference this year.
They do bring a terrific rushing attack, a better passing game. They're not quite balanced, but they're more capable in the passing game than they have been in years past. But I think there are some things in that game that do play into potentially a window of opportunity and a positive for Tennessee, in that Tennessee has really defended running backs really well this year. No, Brian Robinson got 100 yards, but that was for a clip on average. So I do think that the run game element from the quarterback has been the toughest thing in moving the chains and just having some of those big plays from that quarterback run that have been difficult for Tennessee. I don't know that Will Levis is going to bring a ton of that. He's done it some. Who knows? Yeah. Bryce Young hadn't run a lot. He kept plays alive and then throw it. He did a lot more of that in this game, so maybe that will be something Kentucky will try to implement. But I do think you can get Kentucky into a one-dimensional type of game and force them to play from behind. I think there's a window of opportunity. It's a little bit more promising than maybe against like an Ole Miss in Alabama, so explosive and can do pretty much everything.
Yeah. So we'll see what it's like for Kentucky this week as it jumps back into action, as well as what it will be like for Tennessee when the Volunteers head up there a week from, I guess, Friday technically, but play a week from Saturday. And you take a quick look around the conference, and I think while there are teams besides Alabama and Georgia that control their destiny, it's kind of pointing to a showdown between the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs when we get to the SEC championship game. But they do have things that they need to take care of to get there. Georgia is much better positioned than Alabama, just for the fact that Alabama has a couple of games out there against teams that would also be, I think one other team controls their own destiny, and that would be Auburn.
Yeah, and Auburn's shown some fight and improved quarterback play, Bo Nix. So they are always going to be there. We've seen some okay Auburn teams pull that upset before. So that's always on the table for consideration. So, yeah, Alabama's got to play it out. Georgia's got to play it out. Georgia's in a much better position because of Florida's issues. And, Florida, there's a game this weekend in Jacksonville between those two. But I think where that could hurt Georgia, not necessarily for the SEC, would be then their margin of victory is lessened going the rest of the way. Because think about it, John, if Georgia trips up and you have Georgia and Alabama with one loss in the SEC title game, how's the SEC going to get more than one team into the college football playoff?
You're right, because it's only four seats at the table.
Yep.
And if you have each team with a loss, it'll be very easy for the selection committee to go with another team.
Right. So I don't, obviously for the SEC, for a lot involved, they're going to want Georgia to take care of business so that there is an opportunity for two teams into the college football playoff.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got a lot coming your way today. To join us on Sports Talk, 656-9900, 656-9900. We'll have more news and notes. Again, those are brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you trust. Let's go to the phones and check in with Ken. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ken.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, Vince, instead of a moral victory, would you be okay with a quality loss?
Yeah, we could get into semantics here. Define quality.
Well, I mean, we played three and a third of quality football, and we were actually in the game considering you're probably playing one of the top three teams in the nation. So I think that's a quality loss.
I guess for some fans, I'm just trying to view it from the eyes of some fans. Some fans, no loss is unacceptable, and they want the streak against Alabama to be over, and I totally understand that. I think right now where they're at, then yes, I think pulling the positives is the way to go and say, hey, we can build off of this loss. But the standards, if Tennessee, once Tennessee improves as a program, then those standards are elevated. It's just right now when you're trying to rebuild back up, it's a little bit more understandable to kind of use those terms like you did in a quality loss.
I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I do have a question for you. If you were the Atlanta Braves, would you allow the commissioner to attend the World Series after the way he treated you with the All-Star game?
Oh, I'd kill him with kindness. It would just be, hey, would you like, just anything. I mean, it would be so over the top. It's like, hey, we were expecting you in July. In fact, that's what I would do. I would have everything. I would just look for stuff that would have been perfect back in July and say, well, we had this set aside for you, but you didn't show, so here's this.
See, I think I would have the guy at the gate saying, hey, I'm sorry your credentials didn't pass, and we can't allow you in after he gets there.
I'd text him a picture of the cardboard cutout where he would be in the stadium and say, sorry, your spot's occupied.
That's great. Well, I always enjoy y'all's show. I just kind of wondered how you would handle the commissioner attending the game, because if I was a Braves fan, which I'm not, I'm a Cardinals fan, which unfortunately we didn't make it, but I would definitely not allow him to attend.
Oh, I'd take him on a walking tour. I would give every Braves fan the opportunity to welcome.
Give him mustard bottles and water bottles.
What do you say we walk through the outfield?
Y'all have a great day.
All right, sure do appreciate it, Ken.
John, I'm kind of with you. I think that approach would be the most rewarding, I guess, if you're in that situation. But would that like go over his head? Would he
could very well.
Would it not resonate?
Yeah, there's a chance it wouldn't land.
Right.
You forever though could greatly appreciate it. It's right. Like, well, I got it.
For your entertainment purposes, right. It would be the best.
Yeah. The plane / joke circling well above. But it's like, oh yeah. That's how I would welcome it in. So glad you could make it here in October. We wanted you to be here in July, but we all know what happened there. But here you go. Great to have you. Just as I'm sure that they'll welcome the Astros.
Well, the Braves, clearly America's team in the World Series, right?
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. In fact, it was funny to hear that you see some... And you wonder, I couldn't help but wonder as to the Yankees' view of the ALCS, the Yankee fans' view, because I know some of them just checked out because they had no use for either side. But to see some actually put it out there that, you know, they weren't happy with the White Sox because it made them pull for the Astros, it's like, I don't even see how you could pull for the Astros.
Yeah.
No, you're not pulling for the Sox, but I think on that one, I'm just like, I'll watch the Dodgers and the Braves. I won't acknowledge what's going on.
Even if there's like a little part of you that kind of would edge you towards one side of evil versus evil and from their standpoint, you don't admit it publicly.
No, not one bit. It's just like, I hope they both lose. That's all you need to say. Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Always a pleasure when we get to say hello and spend time with Dr. Jerry Punch as he's with us for the next hour. Doc's appearance is brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local. Shop New Balance Knoxville right there in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. Experience the difference that a custom fit can make. That's why the fit specialists get so much repeat customers, so much repeat business, because Doc... It really can change your life.
You know, I strapped on a pair of brand new New Balances over the weekend. new pair of 990. It's like putting my feet in a cloud. You know, just, oh, my gosh, what a difference. You know, I put them on. I go to work out, and I just love these shoes. I wear them, you know, now that I'm at UT, working some as a in my accessory profession as a medical doctor. I wear them around the hospital. I wear them on airplanes, sidelines, you know, in the pits. When I'm at a racetrack or college football game, they are very, very, they will change your life. They're very comfortable. And I think the first thing that attracted me to New Balance was their width and stability. I just felt so stable when I'm out running, or if you're going to go out on a trail or going to go out and jog. And I think that, and also the fact that some of the back pains and issues I had went away. They didn't go away. I just had better shoes, quite honestly. So the folks at New Balance of Knoxville will take great care of you. You know, David and Sharon and their wonderful staff, when you walk in, you become family. They know who you are. They'll know who you are when you come in the next time to buy more, and you will come back once you buy a pair. I am so thankful they take care of us in terms of sponsoring the show.
And we invite you to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Doc, Alabama in the end pulled away from Tennessee for another victory over the Volunteers. There was a point in time, though, I mean, Tennessee was able to twice take that 14-point deficit, cut it down to a touchdown. They were down a score going into, I guess, the final 11 or so minutes of the football game. What were your thoughts on Tennessee's performance in Tuscaloosa?
Well, I know it's not a W, and we don't talk about moral victories, but I'm just going to say this. I was so impressed. I was so impressed with the fight, the energy, the electricity, the want to. Here Tennessee goes in. We all know the quarterback was a game-time decision. Hendon Hooker was a game-time decision. Would he be able to play after coming out in the final series against Ole Miss? Missing the best offensive lineman. So you're outnumbered. You're outmanned. But you were not outplayed and outcoached. I think Tennessee's coaches will give them a tremendous pat on the back for the game plan they had and the effort offensively, defensively, being able to be able to do some things. Yeah, we struggled a little bit on third down. They were 15 of 20 on third down. But when we ran the ball or we had a chance to run the offense, I mean, what a job. What a job a makeshift offensive line did in trying to protect Hooker as best he could. Obviously, the lack of a run game hurt. And you could see that their athleticism on the defensive front, even when Hooker had a lane, he couldn't get but a couple of steps, and that lane closed very quickly. But I thought the game plan, I mean, I continue to be impressed with Josh Heupel and the kids, how they responded. I think if you had depth and you had a few more players, what this team could do. So I'm excited for what lies ahead. We got to get some people healthy. But to go to Alabama, to Tuscaloosa, and lead Alabama, you know, in Tuscaloosa, and to carry it in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I don't think we've outcoached Alabama, you know, in a football game in terms of just over. And I bet you Nick Saban would say the same thing, because I, you know, he's pretty straight front when he would meet with us at times. You know, I admired his honesty. I bet you he would say, what a game plan, you know, that those guys had. Our guys eventually, we made a lot of mistakes. He talked about Alabama, made a lot of mistakes, but Tennessee stepped up and they stuck it to us for quite a while. So kudos to Josh Heupel and those guys. And by the way, Tennessee had 56 offensive plays to 92 for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Think about that for opportunity. My goodness. I mean, you didn't get the ball that much because you're trying to, but what you did, you took advantage of it.
Well, and that's a week after playing 101 snaps defensively against Ole Miss. That's 193 in 8 days, right, Doc? There's going to be a lot of recovery this week for Tennessee.
Yeah, and they need the recovery time. But gosh, I mean, the defensive, yeah, granted, the linebacker, we know there's some depth, there's some weaknesses there, and they get exposed. It doesn't mean there's lack of effort. I mean, there were some players who probably played as hard as they could play, Beasley being one of them, but you know, you're just limited by, you know, depth, and they took advantage of that. There were some of the patterns they ran, dropping behind the linebackers who were trying to support the run, that hurt Tennessee on third down, you know, trying to stop them on third down. But, I'm sitting there just shaking my head saying, wow, what an effort for a team that everyone thought was going to go in there and just be embarrassed. Didn't happen. And if anything, I mean, people around the country got to be saying, whoa, wait a minute, that's 14-7 Tennessee. You know, check that score again.
Alabama covered for those that were participating in that. It just didn't feel like a cover as close as the game was. Yeah,
and they're Alabama, and they're a great football team, and they're incredibly well coached. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you could count on one hand or maybe one finger the number of times I think that another staff has gone in and out coached him. I think Clemson did it in the second national championship game that they won. I thought the game plan that Dabo and those guys had was really good because I did that game, but I thought what Tennessee brought to Tuscaloosa. Now, granted, I mean, the teams coming up are tough. I mean, I don't think Kentucky's a great matchup for Tennessee because it's going to be hard to run the football against that front. And Kentucky throws the ball, you know, very, very accurately, and they got a quarterback that can run it. So those are things that Tennessee struggles with a little bit there. But hey, considering that effort against Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I'll take it. And I think they build on that.
Doc, 8 games in, where is this football team this year compared to maybe what you would have expected at this point? On point where you expected, above it? Where, how do you see this team right now compared to maybe preseason expectations?
Well, I would say they're on a one loss, on a win versus wins versus losses. I'd say they're where I thought they would be. But on watching them visually and looking at what I see on the sidelines from being at the game and what I watched. You know, I stood on the sidelines for 20 years watching college football, and I stood there and listened to players on the sidelines. I watched. You can tell a lot by body language and attitude, but what I saw from Tennessee playing the last few weeks, against Ole Miss and against Alabama, I like what I haven't seen that in quite a while. I haven't seen that, and that reminds me of being on the sidelines back in the glory days at Tennessee when I was here and Peyton was here and T was here, because there was energy and there was effort. There was don't quit, no give up, refuse to lose kind of attitude. And I think that even though you did lose, I think you played to the last down and you kept it. I mean, it's who'd have thought that after all that happened in the day against Ole Miss, you could have a chance to win the game with 4 seconds to play. I mean, that's an effort. And what happened in the first half, in the first three quarters at Tuscaloosa, that's an effort that if you're a recruit sitting somewhere in a high school, say, hey, these guys are building something there. That's Tennessee's going to be Tennessee again. I want to be a part of that. So I think that's the message that Josh Heupel has not only sold to these kids, but to the ones who are watching at home and maybe want to come be a part of the program.
Let's get a quick call from Eric. You're on Sports Talk. Let me hit that again. Hi, Eric. How are you? All right, let's try Eric again. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Okay. Dr. Punch.
Yes, sir.
Saw you a couple of Fridays ago, but I'm calling in about the supposed injuries that we see on the field when a team needs a timeout, or when they're blowing and not going. And I want to compare that to the game of golf. The game of golf is a game of integrity, and that's what it's based on. Now, you know, I'm guilty of a foot wedge every once in a while, and a mulligan. That's not anywhere in the USGA rules book. But what's happening with the injury thing? Takes away from the integrity of the football game or any game where you're breaking the rule, where you're not breaking the rules, but you're bending the rules. And it's just sad that we hadn't been able to come up with a rule or some way to limit that. And I understand if someone's hurt, they're hurt and they need to be attended to. But I've just... As I say, I think it takes away from the integrity of the game. And in this case, it's the integrity of the football game.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't like, Eric, I don't like the fake injuries. And I think that, you know, we're in a quandary because the officials, the referees that I've talked to around the country, the ACC, SEC guys, even the guys out in Big 12 said, hey, you're a doctor. You tell me if the guy's hurt or not. And I said, we certainly can't tell. And the guy's on the ground there. And I said, well, he says he's dehydrated, yet the trainer comes out there and doesn't offer him Gatorade, water, nothing. He just doesn't talk to him. He gets up and bounces off. So that might be your first clue. He said, yeah, but that's after the fact. And they got a point. It's, you know, I defend the officials here. Nothing they can do. What has to happen is the rules committee, which, by the way, is the coaches, mm-hmm. you know, and they're the ones that are abusing this privilege.
Yeah, so don't hold your breath.
Yeah, so exactly. They're the ones that have to step up and say, okay, if someone goes down with an injury, they have to sit out the next four plays. I would contend that if it's the final 2 minutes of the first half or second half of the game, they have to sit out six plays. And if they go down with an injury, now whether you send some third stringer on, have him flop, you know, to me it's like flopping in basketball. It's annoying. It's just absolutely trying to get an advantage and taking advantage of a rule situation, and it's wrong. But the coaches have seen this and it works. And I've saw where it started. It didn't happen recently. It's been happening a number of years, but it's just become almost routine now where players go down. And you'll even see a coach telling them, you know, taking their hands and waving them down to the ground as they're trying to get off the field. You know, that's, I think the rules committee, and here's a way they could address it, in my opinion, guys. You simply say, if a player is injured, then we want them to sit out for a place because our concern is the safety of that player. We want that player to get a good assessment. You can't go to the sidelines and be assessed with neuro exam and have a good medical exam, get in the tent in one play. You can't do that in 40 seconds or 30 seconds. That player needs at least four plays to be completely assessed by the medical staff for his own safety. That's the way I would address it, and then see if the coaches vote against it.
Eric, we do appreciate the call, and kudos to the strength and conditioning and nutrition at Ole Miss. Didn't seem, Vince, like there were any issues against LSU for them to have as many wow. cramps and or injuries and stoppages as there were the 50-degree night before.
Was in line with LSU not going at the pace that Tennessee does.
Yeah, so, yeah. And all the hydration in the Grove, too.
Right.
But they did good work. And our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Let's check in with Randy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Randy.
Hello, good afternoon, John and Jimmy and Dr. Punch. I hope everybody's doing well today.
Vince says hello, but yes, yeah, how are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, oh, Cowboys
Vince,
here.
Okay. Yeah, Vince, good. Good to hear from you guys. good to talk to you. Hey, got a comment before I ask Dr. Punch a question, and I wanted to invite everybody there, Vince and you and John and Jimmy and Dr. Punch. We're having a celebration of life for some former West High School athletes at the Everly Brothers Park on November 14th from 5 to 6. And the athletes are better known for their music. They were known as the Everly Brothers. And they played basketball at West High School. But we're having hot chocolate marshmallows from 5 to 6. We're also having a Christmas tribute with some music by the Everly Brothers. And Andrew Roberto, city councilman, been involved with this along with myself and the Bearden Council. I want to invite everybody. I got some good stories about the Everly Brothers. One of them is when they played basketball at West, Bill Wright, that coached baseball at Tennessee before he coached at Tennessee, was a basketball and baseball coach at West High School. And he told me it was either hairnets or headbands they used to wear to school. So they were, I don't know if they worked in a factory where they had to wear hairnets or what, but I doubt they wore them on the basketball court, but they might have been a little bit ahead of their time. They wore headbands and hairnets to school, according to Coach Wright. But also they were on the Kaz Walker show, and he kicked them off for playing that rock and roll, as he called it. And he said that butt shaking don't sell no groceries. And
so when will this be? When will it be, Randy?
November 14th from 5 to 6. If it's a rain date, it's going to be November 21st. That's on a Sunday, both days.
All right.
5 to 6, hot chocolate and marshmallows. We even invited the mother and some of the family of the Everly Brothers. The mother was doing well. She's 102 years old.
Wow. Good for her.
She was doing well until recently. She's in a wheelchair now, so I kind of doubt she'll be there. It's possible.
All right. What's your question for Doc?
Okay, my question for Doc is, when does IROC start? I know we've talked that it's coming back. So when does the IROC series start back?
Well, IROC itself is not coming back. I mean, it was a series that the International Race of Champions, we call IROC, was incredible for many, many years. And it was owned by Les Richter and Jay Signore with Roger Penske as a solid partner. And it was phenomenal. It pitted champions of all different series that raced a limited number of races in identical cars. Now, what's happened this year is the SRX series has been started by Ray Evernham, who was a crew member on those original IROC cars, and legendary crew chief and now NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham, along with Tony Stewart, have gotten together and formed SRX, which is a primetime series on CBS. And they ran a limited number of events. I think it was six this year they ran total. Got great numbers, got good numbers for television. They had champions from all different series. Tony Stewart raced in there. I think Chase Elliott ran at Nashville. They ran at dirt tracks, short tracks around the country. That, I'm told, will probably come back for another couple years and maybe grow. But that's the newest version of IROC. But the International Race of Champions per se is not coming back, to my knowledge.
Randy, always appreciate it. We'll get a break. We've got another half hour with Doc Punch coming up. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.